ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Yeah, I've been putting the trophy in the cabinet at the moment, and I'm looking at it right now, and it still is a little bit of disbelief of how amazing the year's been.
You've won a number of awards and events over the course of your career. Is it sitting pride and place in the middle? Is it the feature piece?
Yeah, I think to be honest, I think it is one of the most surprising ones, but also the ones that I've welcomed, because it's not just about performance of what I could do, but it's across all of the field eventers from this year. So it really was just one of those years where I had a great year, but also they've recognized it across from all the different events. So that's probably what makes it the most special.
Yeah, you haven't just beaten out your fellow competitors in the high jump arena. You've beaten a number of athletes across a number of disciplines. Talk us through the event in Monaco, because it's similar, but it's so different to actually competing. You're not trying to clear a height and get that massive thrill in the moment. But what was it like heading to Monaco, receiving the award, and how did it all play out for you?
Yeah, it was so interesting traveling overseas and not having to do anything. Like, there was nothing that there was no performance required. There was really nothing. It was almost a celebration of what the year was. And World Athletics was amazing that my husband and I could go there and experience Monaco without having to compete there as well. And so within the night, it was wonderful having Bruce honored for all of what he's done for the sport. And so it was a big Australia contingent in this small Monaco awards night, but yet we could get honored. We didn't know if we'd won when we were there. We only knew that we were in the top two. So Reese and I, we saw it as an opportunity to experience Monaco, to spend time with the World Athletics team. And yeah, it was such a surreal, but also different. It was like a holiday, but it had a trophy at the end of it. So that was great.
Very unusual, as I said. You normally, when you're winning awards, you have the fate in your hands at the exact time. But this one was a culmination of all the work you've done throughout the year, and then you just kind of had to sit back and watch. But it went your way, and we're so proud that it did. You mentioned Bruce McAvaney, who was there, also honoured in Monaco. You've now received the Bruce McAvaney Award for Performance of the Year as part of the 2025 Australian Athletic Awards. Obviously, for that incredible clearance of 2.04 metres, the Oceanic record to win the Diamond League final in August. Is it true Bruce kind of slipped that word to you on the night?
Yeah, so he did that. He's like, well, let's do an interview of it now because I'm about to tell you something different. So it was 2-1. It was surprising, but it was also really such an honour to get that from Bruce in person. And we could just discuss about the 2.04, and it's interesting because oftentimes when you're competing, that moment or that event might be really important to you, but you don't know what it means globally or even what's happening back in Australia. So to see that was a moment that he really got impacted by, it was special to hear it from himself of what that meant and be able to receive that award there at the same time. So it was definitely worthwhile going to Monaco. That's what I'm getting at the end. Even if I wasn't promised anything, we took it and we went, what an opportunity. So no regrets.
An amazing trip that you'll remember forever. And I can say confidently, Bruce probably speaks for all of us, because watching you compete this year, not just in Zurich, but at all the events you competed in, it was so wonderful to watch you and what you do so well. How have you reflected on the year in total? Obviously, you've been recognized with these wonderful awards, but how have you reflected personally on the year you had?
The year's been wonderful. I think it was surprising because this year we decided we wanted to get higher, so we changed my run-up again, which usually when you decide to do a change, you don't know if it's going to bring fruit immediately. Like maybe it's going to take 3 or 4 years, and I made that decision in 2025 with 2028 in mind. So when I was doing all of these changes, we were really just experimenting, and the sport became new and fresh because I wasn't scared of losing anything. I just thought, focus on Tokyo, make sure the build-up is really, really good for the World Championships in September, but try out all of these new different learnings immediately. And it's surprising because every little thing that we did just seemed to work better than what I possibly could have forecasted. And so the 204 for me was really a big thing, because as a high jumper, this is my 20th year of doing high jump and training for it now. And when you can jump higher in one moment than you've ever jumped in your whole life, and everyone can celebrate it because it's at a time where it is the Diamond League final and it is a really red hot competition, you can look back and go, wow, that 20 years was worth it. So I'm still processing it, and I just have a lot of thanksgiving in my heart because, you know, I never would have made those decisions if I didn't have faith that there was something good happening from the end of it. So I just really, I see that God was helping me make those big steps, not worrying about the consequences or the risks, but just going forward. And so I still think I'm processing this year because everyone's asking, what's next and what are you going to do? And I am usually, I build my year off everything that didn't go well. So all the weaknesses, all the things that didn't turn out okay, really helped build me to think about what I need to work on. But this year, everything went really well. So, I mean, I'm really thankful, but my tactic of what I need to work on for next year, I've had to change it a bit because I'm getting used to that this year was such a good year, and I can't just copy and paste from last year to this year because life doesn't work that way. So now I'm discovering, all right, what do I still need to work on? Because there's more work to do.
Well, we have full confidence that you will find that the next level as well and continue to soar to great heights. It's a little scary for your competitors that you had made a change that you were, you know, thinking could take a little while to settle in, but it is scary looking forward to the upcoming events and, of course, to LA in 2028. If that's how you're feeling, you mentioned what a great year it was, but the Australian Athletics CEO, Simon Hollandsworth, said, your season sits amongst the greatest in Australian athletics history. So it is something to be truly proud of. Nicola Ollie Slager's joining us here on Summer Grandstand on ABC Sports. She's the newly crowned World Athletics Field Athlete of the Year. You've spoken about changing your run-up and your approach to the jump, but there is the unique aspect of your approach. Watching you compete, I said at the start, is one of the great joys in sport viewing. Like, your passion is on full display. The big smile you have at the top of your mark is absolutely infectious. And I loved watching you compete this year. Talk us through the mindset you put yourself into as you stand at the top of your mark.
Yeah, at the top of my mark, it really is a joy. I can't fake anything. So what you see is what you get. That's something that I've done. So the joy that I feel with jumping is this anticipation that I usually do, let's say, around 10 competitions a year. In those 10 competitions a year, it might be more, might be less, but I really, you have to train every day just for the moment to be very well prepared on your edge of your mark, ready to jump. And the joy that I feel is knowing that I know that that bar, if it stays on or I get to continue doing it, what I love, it's great. But if I don't make it, it's okay, because if that bar falls off, I know the greatest thing is that I've tried and that that doesn't define me. And because I know who I am outside of what I do, it brings so much freedom, because if I miss the bar, I'm going to discover what hit off the bar, and then I can work on that, write it in my journal. Everyone seems to get all excited about what I'm writing down, but it's just what I'm doing wrong most of the time. And then I get to do it all again, and I learn about this because it really was a dream since I was 8 years old, and I'm 28 now. So 20 years later, I get to do this in the best form, in better shape than I ever thought I would be. And it's a joy because I know I get to share it with the world. And as I'm doing it, and I know that really that the love of God sustains me, because that love actually doesn't allow me to get attached to results, because I'm just doing it from this overflow. And so every time I look at that bar, I just get excited, because it's going to challenge how far can I go? How high can I go? And if it scares me a little bit, I even enjoy it even more, because I know that fear won't stop me from going forward. And as I look at those bars that keep getting higher and higher over my head, but I know exactly how to jump them. That moment before I jump, it's so exciting to go, wow, I've waited all year for a moment like this. I've trained, and I know what to do. And the 204 in Zurich this year, it was amazing standing on my run-up, knowing I'm going to clear it, as I just knew that I had everything to do it, but then having the confidence to then attack it and to really go for it. So when I did clear it, everyone else seemed surprised, but for me, like, you have to clear it before you even attempt it. Like, in your head, you have to know that you're going to go for it, and you're going to fly over that bar. It's the closest thing to flying, and so yeah, it's infectious.
It's incredibly healthy, the mindset to not have everything attached to the results while having a healthy respect for them. But I will say, Nicola, if yours was attached to the results, you'd be very, very happy still, because you didn't put a foot wrong this year and you're clearing pretty much everything in front of you. Just mentioning the journal, I know you get asked about this a lot, but you do keep that journal full of all sorts of things, you know, every jump, what went wrong, your feelings throughout the jump. Firstly, I guess, how often do you flick back through it and reflect on how far you've come? And do you, I guess, journal in other ways as well, and give yourself a chance to look back on your career and your life in total, or where you've come in the last, well, 20 years, I guess, since you took up the sport?
Yeah, I've always loved writing things down. I'm a very, very visual learner. So if I can draw something, as soon as I put pen to paper, my brain, everything makes sense. So I've kept my sports journal, done it every day, every time I've trained. So I train 6 days a week. So 6 days a week of my journal, I'll have written down what I did for training and, more importantly, what I've learned. So when I'm doing my training session today and tonight, I can write down in my journal all the things that I did, all the hops and the running and the bounding and whatnot that I've done. But then I'll write down, well, what did my coach say to me during that time? How did I feel? What am I learning and what am I working on? So I'm writing down all of that. And it's amazing. I've got a bookshelf at home, and I can tell you what I did let's say this time 7 years ago, this training session I did and what I learned, and I can look through them. I tend to just look through the year that I am doing, so the 2025 journal, since I'm writing in it every day, you can't help but flick around and have a look at what else you're doing. And I was looking the other day of even the Tokyo World Championships, of the rain had literally spattered down on the page to the point where the paper it looks like you've just rolled in gravel or something. It's so bumpy. But I can look at, well, what was I working on when I was attempting 2.02 meters? Okay, I need to work on that today. How can I do something today that's going to help me then in the future? So it is a regular companion for me. And I also journal about things outside. My husband complains because I usually have 4 journals on me at all times, different things. And, you know, especially if you're flying as much as me, it's quite heavy to carry around, but I do love it. And I like trying to write down certain things or even certain big events and my process for that, because it helps me then share those lessons with other people around me and communicate effectively.
I love that there's some water on the page, because anyone who was watching Tokyo knows exactly what the conditions were like for the athletes, especially on that night. And the fact that it's got a little bit of water damage will add to the story when you look back on it in years to come. I know Nina Kennedy does a very similar thing. It's become popular amongst athletes, and she likes to journal all of her jumps as well. And I can I can tell you now, if there's an athlete out there who's not doing a similar thing, they should probably start, because between yourself, Nicola, and Nina Kennedy, you're going very, very well and you're on top of the world. So there might be something behind it. What does 2026 look like for you, Nicola Olislager's Comm Games in Glasgow in July, and when will you ramp up your preparations fully for the 2026 season?
That's a great question. So this year I was able to start my season at the World Indoor Championships, and it turned out to be great with a gold medal, but they've changed the rules, so I'm not allowed to start my season at World Indoors. I need to start beforehand, so that's put a little spanner in the works, because we can't copy and paste from 2025 2026. So I may be starting in Australia before March to qualify for the World Indoors. However, we're going to see how my training is going in January to make that decision of if I will compete or if I will just get strong and stay in Australia to prepare for the Commonwealth Games in July. So it will either be around February, March, or we might just stay home, get really, really strong, so that for the international season we can start aiming higher than 204 and get those next heights.
It's going to be an exciting season. We cannot wait to watch what comes next for you. Of course, with 2026, and then looking forward to LA in 2028, where we're sure you will feature and you will hopefully bring home a medal and hopefully a gold one as well. It's been an incredible year watching you, Nicola. I hope you get some time to enjoy the Christmas period with your family, with your friends as well, and you get some time to have a little bit of a relaxed period, because you deserve it after what has been an incredible year. Congratulations on being named World Athletics Field Athlete of the Year at the awards in Monaco, and everything else you've achieved this year. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Mitch.